Well, now that you have won some really significant battles, I understand that your anti-LNG organization has morphed into a new group called CREATE. So let's end by talking a little bit about what CREATE is about and what those six letters stand for.
Okay. It's a great name. It was created by Dan Sears of Columbia River Keeper, but we all love it. It means Columbia River Estuary Action Team. And it is a group that's going to focus on broader issues that affect the estuary. So that still means coal and oil, because those kinds of shipments, either by rail or ship, could definitely damage the estuary. A number of local people have been following the forest issues in Northwest Oregon for quite a while, and specifically Clatsop County, because the health of the forest reflects directly on the health of the Columbia River and the fish and other life along it. So there's that. We've got people trying to focus more on some of the local governments to see what they might plan for their parts of the estuary. Fishing is an issue. Our first organizing meeting, which was held, I have to tell you, the morning after our victory party for defeating Oregon LNG, the very next morning, some
you guys don't stop.
People showed up at a meeting. Couldn't believe it. And we had a list. I think there's like 20 odd topics of things that people want to pay attention to. And so a lot of that will be individual people and clumps of people just following the things that are dear to them. And then as issues arise that need larger, more organized group work, then that's what we'll do.
It sounds like
we'll have, pardon me?
Well, it sounds like as we continue to struggle upriver here against the coal and the oil terminals that are still being proposed, that we have your back at the mouth and you won't let those projects get out to the end of the river.
You're listening to Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein talking with Lori Kaplan. Up next is Disability Awareness with host Grace Reed.
Hi, this is Grace Reed. I am, we're Disability Awareness. I have two guests today. I have Lisa Lake, who is advocacy for houseless, homeless, the SWEEP situation, and she is coming on behalf of Vahid Brown, who is a local activist, advocate, and so they're over there working with another SWEEP. She'll be talking about that, but we're going to be emphasizing the houseless, homeless, disabled person. If you don't think sweeps aren't hard enough, then can you imagine being disabled and being swept off the street like a piece of trash? We need to address that, obviously, and so it's very tough. I've been talking to Vahid off and on, and so Lisa, thanks for coming. Thanks so much for coming and talking about this.
Thanks for having me.
And I have Laura, Lisa Lake, and then I have Laura Sandow. Laura Sandow from Forever. Yeah, and this is Disability Awareness. Anyway, we're on KBOO, obviously. All right, so Laura, thanks for coming. And Laura actually drives me over here, so I wouldn't be here without Laura. You are a vet, and you are handicapped, and we've been doing shows together off and on. But so let's talk about, Lisa, let's open it up with you on the latest sweep. And what is it like? I know you work with handicapped people that are being swept. What?
Yes.
Please.
Our first imperative is to get the handicapped off of the wherever they are sweeping. When the Springwater Corridor happened, they were our first people to remove, try to connect with services, try to get into housing. As you know, there's a whole hill of beans that comes with being disabled,
as far as just even having them transported. You know, getting them from point A to point B, getting them connected with services is harder than a person who's mobile and can get to these things on their own. So we really, as advocates, try to hone in on their, you know, perspective and their needs and wants first before the able-bodied.
And this is all volunteerism. It's not like you
it's
guys
all
are...
all volunteerism.
It's not like you're a bunch of professionals
yes.
going out there.
No, some of us are professionals who have decided to turn it into volunteerism because professionally we have moved into other, jobs and other work.
A little bit about how long you've been doing this.
I've been doing this for over 20 years. Advocacy 5, as a nonprofit, was born in March of this year. I work with 5 different organizations, hence the Advocacy 5. Boots on the Ground, Backpacks of Hope, Free Hot Soup, PDX Outreach Nursing, and Red Barn. And we all have different factions and different things that we do, but we take care of the houseless. That's our main goal.
Wow. So elaborate.
Oh, okay. So we have to
oh
go
my
through.
Goodness.
Yeah, we have Red Barn out in Gresham that does the great work of gathering food and finding connections for people who are houseless and providing them a place to gather and to stay connected to each other. We have Free Hot Soup that does the good work of getting out there mobile teams to feed people in different places at different camps. Boots on the Ground is kind of our logistic arm. They find out where the sweeps are going to be, and they gather people, as well as Backpacks of Hope, who is really doing they're a wonderful organization, up to about 14 members now, and we are doing right now the stand-in for the latest sweep that we don't want to happen. So they're standing ground. They're there with Portland Tenants United. We're creating a united front to no more displacing us without a place for us to go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, and then PDX Outreach Nursing, which is Trisha Basler, and she is a wonderful on-the-street nurse.
Heroes, one and all.
Yes.
For sure.
My heroes.
Yeah, all of us. Yeah, yes. And this is why I wanted you, thanks for coming out. And Laura, you, with your background with handicap and Gitmo and, you know, all of that stuff, how are you involved with witness to the homeless situation here? Because I know we've been talking about it off and on.
Yeah, well, I live near the Springwater Corridor, so we were kind of seeing the cops on their buggies going in before the sweeps, and it affects everybody. I know that this was a community off the Springwater Corridor that had been there for a long time, that people had actually established a camp and a home, and it was really sad to hear that all those people had to be displaced, particularly right before the cold weather, and with no resource or limited resources, it's just a hard thing to do. A lot of people are veterans. Veterans wind up on the street all the time. I myself, if I didn't have help from family and friends, would be in that position. A lot of veterans just simply fall through the cracks.
They do.
And that's one of the projects I'm interested in doing. We've talked about doing podcasts, and I think that would be something that I'd like to bring to the streets. Have people who are in those situations kind of share how they got there and, you know, how they're dealing with this, and letting people know the humanity and the people behind these pretty much faceless people to most people.
Yes.
Make them real and valuable and be heard. So hopefully we get to do that at some point.
Seems like that's the biggest need is bridging that gap between the people who, I don't think there's a lot of bad people or nasty people or hateful people that get up in the morning and go, can't wait to trash the homeless or can't wait to make their life less wonderful. But they don't know what to do.
It's fear-based. It is all fear-based. Mm-hmm. They don't know, therefore they don't know how to help. And if they knew, if they knew the stories and there was a call for help with each individual story, mm-hmm. Another advocate friend, Abby Schwab, and I started Facing Homelessness on Portland. It's a Facebook page where we tell stories about the homeless that we encounter. And then if they have any kind of needs or an ask, we kind of put it out there to the universe. That Facing Homelessness started in Seattle. And we were really surprised just a few months ago to find out that Portland didn't have a page because it's all over the nation. We were like, oh, let's get on that. So we started photographing and then gathering stories and telling stories. So you want to look into that. That's a great place to kind of bridge the podcast.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of launch off of that.
And I'm on that site. That's where I get my information on your
Excellent.
That site.
Yeah. Good.
And that's how I knew about Vahid and now you. Thank you. And
yes.
So how do people reach you? Why don't we go that way? We'll do that a couple of times.
I have a Facebook page, Advocacy 5. You can find us and kind of ask any kind of questions, working on a website at this point, but it's like the shoemaker's kid. I'm always out doing the advocating and on the street work, and I don't have enough time to kind of polish and finish off my website, but that is coming soon. So everybody can gather information, but we take donations through our Facebook page, so it's not, you know, that's a great way to communicate. And we find most people prefer to communicate that way than via a website. It's just mm-hmm. where our society's at, Twitter, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instagram and Facebook, so.
So bridging that gap between the have and have nots, if you will, just the great unwashed and the worst, I guess, back in the hippie times,
yes.
when I was
yes.
16 and hippie doing hippie stuff. 73 now, so it was a long time ago, but we're still there, right?
Yes.
But there was we didn't have the cell phones even, for heaven's sakes.
No.
So now it is easier to. So what is the biggest need right now for the public? We're talking KABU here. This is KABU, so everybody is pretty aware.
Yeah,
And very, I'm assuming, very interested in what to do or out there doing stuff. But this broadcast can get out there to all. I can attach it to the DSAC. Disability Services Awareness Advisory Council, which I'm on, and we can attach it to the folks that literally are fear-based thinking, like, oh my God, I want to help, but I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know how.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how.
Yep.
Details on that, please.
Okay, they can do many things. Let's start with physically being there. We have lots of people in transition who are getting connected to services that might not have rides, so they miss appointments all the time, especially the disabled. Anybody who's able to tackle that, you know, has a van for a wheelchair or a bigger car that can fit a wheelchair. All of our advocates know people, and we keep a running list and can connect any kind of volunteer with whoever needs to get to appointments. And then, you know, therefore, their world just expands when they make these appointments and they get connected to these services. It's a very short time before they're on housing lists. And you know, people don't realize how quickly that can go once people are connected with services.
Yeah.
So it's a great need for volunteers. You know, as far as the sweeps are concerned, there's a great deal need for volunteers just to bodily be there, waving signs saying no more, hold the city of Portland accountable. Mm. We can't do this anymore. You know, you tell them to move from one place, you tell us to put them another place, and then 2 weeks later you're at that place knocking on our door. It can't be done. Everyone's, you know, we're running into winter time. Game of Thrones, winter is coming. It's real. And they need to, you know, we need to get especially our most vulnerable population, the disabled, up and out of the streets or at least into camps where we can reach them for services, can connect them, you know, our nurse can get to them. Volunteers can get to them to transport with them. So there's a whole coalition that we just need to keep pulling together and keep bringing people in. And neighborhood associations, invite us to speak at your neighborhood associations.
Yeah.
Let us tell you what it's really like out there and not this big imagined fear thing that you have in your head. Let us invite some of our houseless friends to help you connect the dots as to what can be done. Because believe me, you know, the majority of them don't want to be out on that street either or in your backyard. You know, let's find a way for this not to happen. This is not something that anybody really wants.
And I work with particularly street addicted folks, so I work in that camp quite a bit, and I do a lot of outreach. And they have, then you pile on that handicap, if you will.
And it is.
And they can go in and really create a lot of havoc.
Yes, they can.
I know that was one of the issues on Springwater.
Yes.
The addicts came in and just self-will and rioted, and I was able to reach some of them, like, what are you doing?
And we support the campers who are there who don't want that in their camp and really work hard to do low-impact, intentional camping where they are, you know, the city has kind of put forth a kind of code for low-impact camping. And we are making sure that these intentional camps are sticking to that. And still, we're being threatened with sweeping, and actually not even threatened, they're just sweeping. So this has got to stop. This is no more.
What does what's the next step as far as city hall and city government issues?
We've been sitting at that table for over 9 months now. Well, you know, us on one side and the city on the other, and trying to hammer out. And you know, the first thing was, well, we'll find land to do intentional camping. Advocacy 5 and its agencies were the ones that put up that women's camp on Mother's Day.
Okay.
That, you know, basically we went into negotiations with the city. You can, you know, if you leave within 72 hours, we'll find you land in 2 weeks. We put all the women up. This was a DV camp, so it was much needed. And we put all those women into motels, and the city kept them there for 2 weeks, and then no land, and then no land, and then no land.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a game. It's now kind of a whack-a-mole, cat-and-mouse game where, you know, we'll find a place and then put them there, and then we'll sweep them. And
I remember there was a great pallet. You know, the pallets were being called in so they could be up off the ground, and they had them. They had women in that little fenced-in area.
That was my camp.
Area.
That was our camp.
There
you
go. I remember that. And I thought, yes, at least there's stability, right?
Yes, that's right.
And then you look the next few days, and they've swept them off.
Yeah. In the 3 days that we had the women there, and we have kept track of all of those women in different... activists and advocates have taken their hand, and all these women have made great strides just in the 3 days that they were there, the connections they made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had 24-hour security. We had, you know, porta potty in place. We were getting ready for dumpsters and water, and we had food services lined up, you know, only to be swept.
What created that?
The sweep?
Mm-hmm.
The land, we were told by the city of Portland that the land had just gone under contract to be sold. To be developed the year 2020, I think. 2000, I don't know, some ridiculous time out. So let us stay there for a year. Let us prove this model.
Yeah.
You know, let's do it for 9 months to 12 months. Let's see how many people we can move in and out of this kind of disparity. Just give us a chance. Okay, we will. We'll find the land. We'll do this. We'll do that. And nothing. Nothing has come. And we'll sit here. We'll sit here for years and waste hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to solve this problem when we came up with a very simple, complete with a service pack, that was well under $500,000 to run this place.
I know Laura and I have talked a little bit about the different kinds of, and we talked a little bit before the show about the open buildings that are just, there's nothing going on. How many do you know of? Lord, I know we talked about Wapco. Is it the Wapco? They're thinking about that.
Wapato? Yeah. I'm not sure about the pronunciation. I hear three different pronunciations any given day.
Mm-hmm.
Wapato.
Wapato, and they're thinking about opening that up. And all the controversy. What's with the controversy? What is this? What's going on? So, Laura, my gosh, let's go. No more, no more. Shall we do?
yeah, a little chant.
chant a little bit. This is insanity. Yeah. It's
the perfect word.
It's unforgivable. It's insanity.
Unconscionable.
It's infuriating. It's like, for people who are aware of this, and we see this happening over and over and over and over, and especially, and then you talk, then you add addicts. Now, there's a lot being done for them. I know there are lots of counselors that are coming in and helping, and social workers, yes, and all of that. That was my background. And we're doing a lot to help those folks. Veterans. There were 13 houses or 13 apartments that got open. 13. They were allowed to go in with their dogs.
Right.
These were all men, but that's good.
Yeah. Any progress
anything.
Is good.
Anything. And that was one little building downtown,
right,
that I didn't even know existed, and they got 13 guys off the street with their dogs. Right. I know there's quite a bit of, what do you know about the veterans move? I think there's progress, a little progress going on. I'd like to think.
Speak your truth.
I have so many issues with the VA, and I'm really one of those people who fall into the cracks, and there are so many people who have. I've had some wonderful doctors and met some wonderful people, social workers who try to help, but the system is just so unwieldy. It's, you know, bureaucracy and bean counters, and at the end of the day, it's the same problem we have with other disabled and homeless. You know, it's the bottom line. It's not about the person. So, okay. The VA does let a lot of people fall through the cracks. I don't think they have very good alcohol and drug treatment programs. I think a lot of those people wind up without any services on the streets.
They absolutely do.
And I see it happen over and over again. And they need to figure out how they can treat that problem before more people wind up that way. If we're going to have wars, we need to take care of our veterans.
Yes.
Well, and that's that addiction outreach is my work on the street. Mm-hmm. I literally help people that are there, but then they disappear and then they come back, and mm-hmm. they will not go into services and whatnot. So
we call them service resistant.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're very service resistant. But yes, you've got to keep trying.
You do.
Keep.
You do.
So what is it going to take
Well, when the sweeps started. Yeah. When the sweep started and we kind of negotiated, they were supposed to be on August 1st, and we kind of negotiated for a month later. Multnomah County, I have to give a great shout out to them, really stepped up to the plate, and we have a kind of consortium of agencies, Janus, Cascadia, TPI, mm-hmm. Join, who really have come into this and got within that month a lot of people on the Springwater corridor connected to services and have stayed with them and have not let those people fall between the cracks. But now I'm afraid that now that we're all swept and it's not a priority mm-hmm. anymore, mm-hmm. that these mm-hmm. kinds of things will fall away again. And I'm hoping that doesn't happen. We still have weekly call-ins where the advocates are talking to the service agencies, and that's a new and really lovely thing. Mm-hmm. If that can just keep happening at the rate it's happening now, in a non-crisis mode, we could make so much forward movement.
And that, as an ex, I was an addiction counselor and a social worker, and I was doing mm-hmm. all that, and those folks are far and few. They are so overwhelmed. And they're not hiring. I know I could. I have a vast, skills in this, and I can't get a part-time job doing that. I can't work for full-time.
And that's ridiculous.
And I can't get a part-time job, and they're screaming for addiction counselors and social workers and folks like that. And
we are running into that with the advocates, too. So many of them are already in. They have all that accreditation. They just want mm-hmm. part-time work.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their disabled.
So yeah. I'm working on that through the advisory council, the Disability Services Advisory Council. And by the way, if anybody wants to come over and join that, we need new members.
Excellent.
The purpose of the Disability Services Advisory Council is to give policy guidelines for those individuals inquiring about applying for or receiving services go over and yell at City Hall and City Government. That's what we do.
Good.
we're taken seriously, and it's a 3-year stint, and it's a elected situation.
Okay.
We need more people over there, especially people that are in the firestorm.
Right.
So, but it's very hard to move this mass. What is it going to take to move the mass?
It's going to take guts on the part of city, you know, officials. It's going to take imagination from all of us, neighborhoods, advocates, you know, activists, mm-hmm. people working with social service agencies. It's going to take a leap of faith that these things, you know, all of our services, when put into one or a bunch of intentional camps and intentional places for homeless people or houseless people to be, that we can all work a miracle with this.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not given that chance, you know? And that's what has to happen. That has to break open. It has to get to the critical mass point, which I think we're at with winter coming and with the spring water corridor sweeps, where there is going to be a no more. We are standing this ground. We will be here. You will, you know what I mean? You will not move us. We will have services here. Mm. And a year from now, you can evaluate us and tell us, you know.
Well, I know there's the enough is enough movement.
Yes.
And, of course, we're all part of that.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, it's... So I guess it's just going over and camping out at City Hall like the Black Lives Matter people did. Yeah. That. They sat inside the City Hall and
yes.
they got the mayor to come out.
Yeah.
They just knocked on his door until he came out. So mm-hmm. I suppose it's going to have to be something like that.
There is. There's going to have to be movements on every front. We're
mm-hmm.
going to have to employ all kinds of things at the same time. Occupy movements, you know,
yeah.
voices and...
Veterans, all kinds of people showing up with...
Yeah.
Flags and podcasts and this and that.
That's right.
And I know once you get put on a housing list, it's five. I just got, I'm Section 8 in housing myself as a elderly handicapped old fart.
Join the club.
Yeah. They have, they just put out a new housing waiting list. 23 years out on
yeah.
some of these lists. It's
yeah.
it's crazy. It's
yeah.
like, are you serious?
That's
23
right.
years out?
And add to that, and, you know, I'm talking to all kinds of, because we work with affordable housing, like Portland's 10 United, the next step up, because if we raise people up and out of this houselessness issue, where do they have to go? So we have to work with all the agencies, and everybody has to support over. You can build affordable housing, Grace, all day long, but it's the barriers. Okay, that keep coming up, the barriers to get into this housing.
Yes.
So,
yes.
you know, the deposits and then keeping
mm-hmm.
up with the rent and
mm-hmm.
getting a 25-year-old felony off of your record, so or an
mm-hmm.
eviction that should never have happened, a no-cause eviction because you couldn't pay your rent. All of these barriers that hold that they can build these affordable housings all along.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to live in them?
Yeah.
Who in this population is eligible to live in them?
Right.
We got to cut through that too.
I know units come up in my building and several buildings that I work around, and we're all crying that we're the Kleenexes.
I know.
It's like, no, this is pretty overwhelming stuff, and that's why I wanted to address this, and I'd like to do the next show around this as well.
Great.
Because I do this once a month. But we need to do this maybe a little bit more often on KBOO. And I think there are other people that are broadcasting around this. And I'll try to find them, and maybe we could come on and, you know, talk a little bit more. We need to do this on a very regular basis.
And we do. We all have to band together, you know,
the
mm-hmm. displaced veterans and the disabled people and the, mm-hmm. the houseless people and the advocates. We can have a big voice when we're all together.
Right.
You know, so take all these little factions and start really connecting all of this so that we all show up at every meeting at City Hall against this. You know, when we start coming in by the hundreds.
Well, I know the Home Coalition, I'm part of that too, and we showed up 300 strong
yeah.
at one of the City Hall meetings, and they
That's
had
right.
to move the City Hall to a bigger room.
I want to keep doing that, Grace. I want to keep doing that.
They were so overwhelmed, it was unbelievable.
Right.
It was
yep.
just unbelievable.
Yep.
We got 1 minute. How do we reach you, Ms. Lisa Lake?
You can go on the Facebook page, Advocacy 5, and that's Advocacy 5 as in the number 5, kind of all mashed up together in our name. You can also reach us by email, advocacy5 with the letter 5 spelled out, at gmail.com. Also, that's our PayPal connection. If you want to make a donation, we'd great. We do monthly subscriptions. We do any kind of one-hit wonders. And we buy tents and sleeping bags, and we keep people armed with winter coats and boots and all of that good stuff.
And Ms. Laura, how do we reach you?
Oh, well, I'm on Facebook. You may also reach me at laura_sandow@hotmail.com.
And in fact, right after the show, I get my Laura Takes Me Back. And there's a whole lot of disability news, but you can go on Facebook and look at disability program news, and you'll get all the latest information on how to join that and what to do around that.
Wonderful.
Okay, we're wrapping it up, and I thank you so much for coming on, and we've got a lot of work to do.
We do. Thank you.
So, folks, join. Get your body out there, grab your people, and let's go and make it happen.
That's right.
Thank you, darlings.
Thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. That was Disability Awareness, and up next at 11:30 is Voices for the Animals.
Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Within These Walls, September 28th at 7 p.m. at the Saruman House in Portland. Within These Walls is a thought-provoking presentation and conversation focused on the nature of solitary confinement and its prevalence in the American prison system. During the event, there will be performance and discussion elements. Again, that's Within These Walls, September 28th at 7 p.m. at the Saruman House, 5131 Northeast 23rd Avenue in Portland. More information may be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under community.